Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. The Milwaukee area ranks as the most segregated metropolis in the country, depending on data analysis methods. When parishioners formed Transformation City Church in Milwaukee, overcoming this division took priority. Before they even purchased a church building, they bought a house in a predominantly African-American low-income neighborhood. They later founded the nonprofit Inhabit and, through it, purchased a second home in the same area. The idea was to embrace diversity and minister from within the community. Lake Effect's Amy Kiley visited the neighborhood to learn more.
On a rainy spring day, Tim Nelson waits on the porch of a large two-story house in Milwaukee's Sherman Park neighborhood. He's executive director of Inhabit, a nonprofit that invites Christians to live in this home and serve the community. One street over is the original house of Inhabit's parent organization, Transformation City Church. It has a parallel mission. Foreclosed homes dot the rain-soaked street. They're boarded shut, but often open to prostitution, drugs, and gun violence.
So how old is this house?
It's from the teens.
Nelson says, like most homes on the block, the Inhabit house was once a high-end residence, probably for wealthy German Americans. When Inhabit rescued it from foreclosure, it bore little resemblance to its former splendor.
Well, right now we're in the living room. Had big holes in the walls from where scrappers came and busted out the plaster and the lath and actually pulled the window weights from the old windows.
Why come here and renovate this home and move in people?
A lot of the north side neighborhoods in the central city have board ups, and they can be a place where a lot of negative stuff happens. Drugs, gambling, prostitution, and there's evidence that all of that has happened here. And so when you actually rehab a house, the first thing you do is you change the quality of the neighborhood a little bit in that one area.
After that, Nelson says it's time to open the doors. The occupants of this home are still getting to know their neighbors. Those who live in Transformation City's first residence are already connecting area youth to a Bible club, a youth group, tutoring, and music lessons.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Amy. Nice to meet you.
Residents from the two houses gather in the Inhabit living room. Among them, Kevin Soss has lived in the homes the longest.
It's important for us to be around people who are different from us. And me, being a white male living in a majority African-American neighborhood, is a part of that. And I feel like there's so much I can learn. And we're so segregated in our lives from people of different races, people of different socioeconomic status, that I felt like God was telling me to live among those who are different from me and to learn from them.
Soss is the youth leader for Transformation City Church, so he works with a lot of neighborhood kids who attend ministry events there. He remembers telling a sixth grade boy from church about fundraising for the second house.
And he reaches into his pocket and he says, "Here, I'll give you this to get started." He's a sixth grade boy, like, what money does he have? And if you ever get him money, you're going to the store to get some chips and a soda, you know? That being the first dollar that Inhabit raised was getting us off on a good start.
Mel Jones is the only African-American in the living room. She says one reason she moved into the Inhabit house was to counteract what she calls black flight. She says she feels safe in Sherman Park, but she knows people with her education don't normally choose to live there, as a little girl reminded her.
She said, "Are you really going to move on 44th and North?" And I said, "Sure." She's like, "Oh my God, we used to live over there. We just moved. Oh, God." And I was like, "Oh, I'll be fine. God will protect me." And she's like, "Oh, God's not going to protect you from those bullets." That was not what I wanted to hear before I moved in.
When it's Ben Westra's turn to talk, his toddler, Katie, speaks first.
The first is how...
Katie is the only lifelong resident of the houses, and her dad says she's pretty popular.
Well, I grew up in a neighborhood that was very, very different than this one. And right after the baby was born, all of our neighbors kind of came alive. Three or four of our neighbors like bought our little outfits and little things, and we're now, instead of us saying hello to them, coming up and saying hello to us and wanting to hold the baby. And really, it was a connection point with them that we now had, and it just made me think of how similar we all are, and because we stick out like a sore thumb in that neighborhood, and there's no other way around that.
Ben Parman says living in the community is just part of his journey.
As much as we say we're living in community, or as much as we say we aren't racist or prejudiced or separated, we are, and it's going to take our entire life to move through that.
Later that afternoon, Nelson is back on the porch, pointing along the street.
That's been boarded up since we've actually taken possession of this property, so that's been probably 7 months. So that's a foreclosed one. If they have green boards, the city has boarded them up. You can see there's one two doors down, and it doesn't have any windows left, and you can see right into the house. So that's the state of a lot of the houses when we get them. Ours was like that, so it's just a lot of work.
Behind those green boards, Nelson sees possibilities. Inhabit is presently raising money to refurbish a third home and plans to occupy five in the end. A few days later at Transformation's first house, neighborhood youth play basketball in the sunshine.
What's that for?
Oh, for a radio story that I'm doing?
Inside, two neighborhood kids involved with Transformation sit on couches. 13-year-old Mimi Farmer used to live a few houses away. That got her involved with the Bible Club and youth group at Transformation City. She explains how helping rehab the Inhabit home converted one of her bad habits into something positive.
I felt that I want to live my life as an art teacher.
Great. You said that you painted the walls and such. Is that kind of what got you interested in that, or were you interested in it before and then you just decided to help out?
I was interested in it before, but then I stopped because I was painting on stuff I wasn't supposed to paint on.
The family of 14-year-old Kevin Norton lives five houses down.
I met Kevin going to a Bucks game. Then one Sunday, I was coming from the store, and he was like, "You want to go to church?" And I've been going to that church since. I know the whole church, really. I work in the back on the video and audio board, and sometimes I fill in for instruments, guitar and drums, a little bit of bass. Not to brag.
Norton remembers seeing bullet holes in the Inhabit house when he helped refurbish it, and he expresses a broader desire to help his community. With Sauce's assistance, Norton composed a song to compete for trees for his neighborhood. He won, and the two talk of planting. Norton says his penchant for volunteering goes back to a verse in the Bible.
My guitar teacher always told me, "To whom much is given, much is required." If I'm given a lot of opportunities, I should just, you know, hold back.
What opportunities do you feel like you've been given that you want to give back for?
I've been given the opportunity to, you know, play in the worship team, work at the church, help others out, and getting blessed opportunities.
Norton also sold candy bars to help pay for the basketball court out back. He and Farmer head there to watch the game.
Come on, let's go.
For Lake Effect, I'm Amy Kiley.
Links to more information about Inhabit and Transformation City Church are at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Transformation does now have a parish building. It's on West Burleigh Street, 2 miles east of Sherman Park. Amy Kiley produced our feature. Do you think Milwaukee shuts down at midnight? Well, think again. Writer Dan Murphy reveals some unexpected things to see and do in the wee hours and during the rest of the day as well, when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.